We all worry about our kids. It's normal, right? I mean, we've all had anxiety about our kids' future, about their behavior, whether or not we're making the right choices, and if we're doing what's best for our kids. And today we're talking about this worry, but we're uncovering it for what it really is: fear. And we're talking about how this fear influences your parenting, your homeschool, and your family in pretty negative ways. How it's actually the root of so much of the disruption that we experience in our homes and our homeschools, and we don't even recognize it for what it is. You'll learn 4 steps to uncover fear and break free from it so your relationships will be better, so your home and your homeschool can be more peaceful. Because fear, anxiety, worry, it causes chaos. They are tools of the enemy, and we don't want any of that. So let's revive our homeschools. Welcome to the Revival Homeschool Podcast, where you're going to learn how to partner with Jesus to build a homeschool that enables your family to thrive. God is calling your family to step into his peace, even on those days when you're worried your kids aren't learning anything and you're trying to remember why you chose to homeschool. If you're ready for simple routines, effective parenting strategies, and biblical wisdom that will transform your days from unproductive to intentional, then you're in the right place. It's time to revive your homeschool and step into the good plans that God has for your family. So set those kiddos up with some Legos or whatever's going to keep them busy for the next 20 minutes while we dig into today's show. Welcome back to the Revival Homeschool Podcast. Thank you for being here with me today. Today, we're talking about worry and anxiety and fear. You know, a couple months ago, I was talking to a mentor, and I became aware of how fear really influences my parenting and how it's actually caused a lot of destruction to my relationships with my kids and to my home and our homeschool when I give into those fears and when I act upon those fears. And as I was praying about it, you know, I've learned a lot. The Lord has shown me a lot as I've been praying about it, but I started to see it everywhere. I started to see how my kids fall into the same pattern of what happens when we fear. Usually I see this pattern of fear, control, and then manipulation, right? The manipulation to try to control the situation because we're afraid. So I've seen this pattern in my kids, in my friends, and I bet that it has a hold on your life too, because it's really one of the main tactics of the enemy. That's why the Bible speaks so much about fear and worry and anxiety. And today I'm going to share with you how I recognized it in my life. We're going to talk about some real life examples that I'm pretty certain you're going to be able to relate to, and how you can recognize it in your life and how we can take steps against it. So I want to start with some real life examples. So bedtime has always been a trigger for me for some reason since like the early days, since my kids were like toddlers. And so right now it kind of looks like this. Like I tell my kids to get ready for bed and then they're not obeying. Like I'm like, go brush your teeth and I'll be right up to tuck you in and everything. And then they're downstairs or they're doing whatever, but they are not brushing their teeth. And I start to lose my cool. I start to get angry because I'm like, you guys are not obeying. You're being disrespectful. You're not doing what is expected of you and what you know you're supposed to be doing. So then I start threatening them, right? I start saying, listen, if you don't get your teeth brushed in the next 3 minutes, then you can't read books before bed tonight or whatever. Usually that's my go-to. And then my kids start pushing back. They feel attacked. Like the other day, this played out exactly the way I'm saying. And Forrest said to me, I just wanted to make you laugh because he was messing around. And it just made me think for a second. Like my thoughts were like that they have the worst intentions, that they're like disobeying and they're disregarding me. But really his thoughts were, I just wanted to come down and make you laugh before bedtime. And that really made me feel bad. But This always ends in disaster whenever I get triggered because of this and start losing my cool. So I started thinking, like, what is really happening? Well, I'm losing my cool because I'm afraid of a couple different things. I'm afraid that I'm not going to have enough time to do what I need to do after they go to bed. I'm afraid that I won't have time to do what I want to do. And I also have this fear that my kids are never going to learn how to be obedient. And that really triggers me when I start believing this. And for some reason, the standard I have for obedience is brushing your teeth when I tell you to. Not sure why, but that is something. So it's this fear that starts this cycle of me losing my cool, being overly, I don't know how to, like, I guess my expectations are just way off, being like super uptight and really causing a lot of chaos in our evening that does not have to be there. So I have a choice. I can either submit to this fear and act upon it, or I can trust God. And when we choose fear, we partner with the enemy. Fear is a tactic used by Satan. And I know that we don't like to think of it like that, and it sounds a little drastic maybe, but I really think that we often dismiss fear as normal and we don't want to see it for what it is, right? Because it's normal to worry. It's normal to get upset that we're not going to have enough time to do the things that we need to do. It's normal to get worried about these things and be anxious. And listen, just because something is normal and that it's common in this world does not mean that it's right. It is not God's way. The Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." How would that look in my bedtime situation? Well, it would look like me not getting upset and just being setting forth the boundaries and letting it play out. And honestly, like, yes, okay, you might have to like issue some consequences and all that stuff. But when I don't get upset about it and just trust the Lord that like things are going to work out, or maybe he's using this for a bigger reason. Maybe he's using it to teach them something about obedience. And when I get upset and lose my cool, I get in the way of that lesson even happening. So it looks like me not getting upset. And whenever I actually am able to do that when I'm triggered, I realize that actually everyone gets to bed on time and everything does work out, even when I thought it wouldn't and I started getting worried. Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" And I wonder, what would life be like if we actually lived this way? If we actually didn't worry about all of the millions of things that we worry about? Because I'm starting to see how much fear actually influences my actions and how it is never great. It's never peaceful and holy, and it's just not God's will for our lives. I wonder what it would look like if we could break free from these worries that sometimes we don't even recognize. The Bible says that we are not to be anxious, that we are to give God all of our worries. So it means that it must be possible. So then why can't we live this way, or why don't we live this way? And I wish that I had all of the answers for you, but this question is a deep one, right? But one thing I've realized about fear is that we don't live in the freedom of not having fear because we actually use fear. We don't just succumb to it, but we choose it. We choose to use it to achieve our purposes instead of relying on God. Okay, so let me give you an example. So we're running out of the house and I'm getting worried that we're going to be late. So I have two options. I can either partner with fear and use the tactics that come along with fear, like trying to control the situation, blaming my kids for us being late, shaming my kids, trying to manipulate them to do what I need them to do. Or I can simply trust that things are going to work out, set the boundaries, let my kids know what's expected of them, and then get us through the process of getting out of the house in the time. So when I partner with fear, it looks like this. Fear activates my fight or flight response, forcing me to take action. I start rushing the kids. I threaten them that if we don't get out of the house in 5 minutes, we're not going to make it. Listen, if we don't make it, then you're not playing at the park or you're not doing this. I rush myself. And I choose fear because I feel like it gets the job done. We don't end up late. But there are consequences. The way I spoke to my kids wasn't kind or gentle. The stress that I put on my kids wasn't necessary and caused them to act out in ways that actually made us more late. And the stress that I put my body under isn't healthy. So let's think of the other way. So the other way is, all right, I'm looking at the clock. I feel like I'm going to be late. I don't stress out. Instead, I choose to believe that, you know, God is going to work all things for good and that we'll probably make it on time. And I tell the kids what's expected. Listen, we need to leave the house now. I need you to get your shoes on. And we're going to walk out the door because we've got to go. And I stay calm and I stay gentle. And guess what? It works better. My kids don't get all uptight and freak out and have a tantrum because I'm not stressing them out. And we actually get out of the house on time and it's way easier. Okay, here's another scenario. You're worried about something. You're worried about, I don't know, a health situation, a political situation maybe. And you partner with fear because you think it will help you find a solution to the problem. So you obsessively Google possible solutions to this thing and you search for more information. But it comes at a cost to your time, right? How much time did you spend Googling and thinking and worrying that probably didn't get you far? And it often causes us more worry and more problems than had we just taken a step back and realized that probably what we're worried about isn't as big of a deal as we think it is, and that maybe we just need to trust the Lord. So I recently had a health situation that I'll probably disclose. I wouldn't call it a health situation, really, but I will disclose maybe more in the coming future. But I got all obsessed Googling every single thing, like Googling every single symptom, every single thing, when I knew the Lord was telling me to just trust. There's nothing that I can do about it right now. Like, yes, okay, if you need to make an appointment, call and make an appointment. If you need to, like, look up a little bit of information, okay, but not in an obsessive, controlling way, because it causes more stress. It wastes our time. It causes us to go down that spiral of fear. It causes us to act uptight when our kids come around and they want to play, and all we can think about is that issue that we're facing, and we don't want to play. It's not healthy, and it's not God's way. Fear is not a tool used by the Holy Spirit. And I just want to note the scripture, Proverbs 9:10, right? It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the fear of the Lord is not what I'm talking about here, right? This is a real fear in the sense of reverence to the Lord. It honors God for who he really is, holy and just. But it's not like a cowering, I'm afraid, I'm anxious, I'm worried kind of fear. The type of fear I'm talking about is that worry and the anxiety that the Bible speaks against. And it's obvious that this is not a tool that the Holy Spirit uses because of what happens when we choose fear. We get destruction of our relationships, right? It causes us to be short-tempered. It causes us to act out in anger. We get damage to our physical health, our mental health, our spiritual health. So let's talk a minute about that cycle that I mentioned of fear and control and then manipulation. And the manipulation, maybe it's shame, maybe it's blame, maybe it's fear. We're using fear to control others. But fear causes us to act out in certain ways because we want to grasp for control of the situation. We want to get control of the situation because we want to change the outcome. We want to control the people around us. We want to control our circumstances. So we tend to try to control. And when we can't control, we get angry. And then we try to manipulate even more. So here's an example that maybe you can relate to. So the other day, I brought my boys to the library, and each of us had something we were supposed to be working on. So the boys were supposed to be working on something creative, and I was going to be working on some of my podcast stuff. So Silas brought these blank cards that they used to create, like, playing card games and, like, characters. And we got there, and he decided he didn't want to do that anymore. So he asked if he could log into the computer there and go on this website that he uses to do his creative writing. Sure, go ahead, go do that. 20 minutes later, I come and check on him, and he doesn't have one word written. And I have suspicions that he actually logged into Roblox. And I was so triggered. I was so angry. Like, I lost my cool. Like, I'm like, we have to leave the library right now. And why was I so angry? It had to do with fear. So many fears, really, were packed into that situation. One of my fears is that he won't learn to be self-motivated, because he's not really self-motivated. And that freaks me out, because I really am. And my fear is that, like, he's never going to live up to his full potential or be successful. And that freaks me out. I'm also afraid that I'm failing him, but by not being able to teach him to be focused and motivated. And I broke it down to these two fears, really, these two root fears, that I'm afraid that I'm failing as a mom, that I'm not doing good enough as a mom. And I think that most of the times when I get angry, it comes down to this one fear, that I'm afraid that I'm not doing a good enough job as a mom. And then the other fear that I broke it down to was, I'm afraid that God's plans for him aren't good. I'm afraid that God doesn't have good plans for him. And when I say it out loud, I'm like, that's ridiculous. Of course I know that God has good plans for him. But I'm not living that way. I mean, sometimes I am. But in that moment, I was not living that way. I was living as if God's plans for him were not good. I had to control the situation. I have to control the situation. I have to control everything he's doing so that he can be successful and not a failure. So how does this fear cause me to act? Well, I started using fear and manipulation against him. You're wasting all of your time, Silas. If you can't figure out how to use your time effectively, you're not going to be able to do anything you want to do in life, and start kind of like going on this speech. I start giving him a lecture. And what was the result? Silas got really discouraged, and he also got angry. See, I had the opportunity to teach him many things. I could have taught him about the importance of time management and been like, well, now you didn't get this done and your time's up, and that's that. I could have taught him about the importance of reaping and sowing, right? When we sow into something, we get good results, and when we don't, we don't. I could have taught him so many things. I could have taught him how to brainstorm ideas for his writing, but instead I lost my cool, and any teaching moment was lost. And what happened was, he gave up trying. He felt overwhelmed. He felt like I was against him, like I was his enemy. And then he started talking about how he was such a bad writer because he can't think of any ideas. And it was like my fears were playing out, right? I'm afraid that Silas won't be self-motivated. And then I get down on him, telling him that he needs to be motivated. And then it just makes him less motivated. And this is the cycle of fear, control, and manipulation. And it actually, I've come to notice that it is actually like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because the way that I act when I'm fearful actually makes my fears more likely to come true, right? If I keep discouraging Silas in this way, he is definitely not going to learn how to be motivated. Instead, he's going to think that he's a failure. I mean, maybe these are just more of my fears, but I'm not teaching him motivation. I'm teaching him to feel bad about himself. And I see this self-fulfilling prophecy happen with my kids as well. So Forrest often wakes up with a fear that we're not going to have fun today. And he starts acting out. He starts complaining. He gets angry when he asks me what we're doing today and I tell him. He refuses to do his work. And then he has to deal with the consequences, which are not fun for anybody. So it's like he actually caused his day to not be fun because he was afraid that he wasn't going to have fun. This happens in his life. And on a bigger scale, on like deeper issues, it happens in my life. And I'm wondering if it happens in your life. When we partner with fear, it separates us from the peace of God. When we act out in response to fear, the results are destruction to our relationships, to our sanity, to our physical and spiritual health, to our homeschool, to our families. And I wonder what this looks like for you. What are the things that trigger your fear? When you're angry, when you lose your cool with your kids, when you lose your cool with your husband, what is the fear behind that? Because I can almost guarantee you that it is rooted in some type of fear. Galatians 5:1 tells us, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." Right? He set us free from sin and its devastating effects in our life. He sets us free from fear. But the verse goes on to say that we have to stand firm and not submit again to the yoke of slavery. We have to take a stand against fear and its destructive effects over our lives and relationships. If you want a peaceful homeschool, if you want a peaceful home, we have to uncover fear and how it is causing chaos in our home. So the first step is to expose the places that fear has snuck into your parenting, into your relationships, and into your beliefs, and name it for what it really is. It's not just anxiety or worry. It is a tool of the enemy to steal the freedom and the joy and the peace that Christ died to free you from. Number two is to repent for the sinful things you have done when acting out in fear. The harsh words that you've said to your family, the manipulation to get your family to do things the way that you think they should be done, the selfishness when we believe that our way is the right way. And be honest, right? Because it's easy to overlook things and just be like, that's no big deal. Everyone does that. Everyone loses their cool. Everyone says things they don't mean. But listen, God does not excuse sin. And if we want to step into more peace and more freedom and more joy, we have to repent of our sin and turn away from it. So don't overlook the things. Step number three, ask the Lord to reveal to you the root behind these fears. Because sometimes we can uncover like a base fear of like, okay, well, I'm worried I'm not going to get the things done after the kids go to bed that I need to get done because I don't have enough time. But there's a deeper fear there. Maybe a fear of that I'm not, this is my main fear, guys, that I'm not going to be good enough. I have this fear that I'm not good enough. It's a deep thing. I'm working through it. Just whole different podcast here. But there's usually a deeper fear, a deeper lie hidden behind those surface fears. So ask the Lord to reveal to you these roots behind these fears and pray to be set free so you don't keep walking in the same patterns. Christ has died to set you free, but you have to claim that freedom. Pray the blood of Christ over these sinful patterns and over these fears that have taken root in your mind. Step number four, arm yourself with scripture. So when you're tempted to walk in the same patterns, you have something to help you choose a different way. I honestly believe that God has so much more for us in this life than we even realize, that his promises of freedom and peace are true. And really, this is what Revival Homeschool is, it's all about. But it's not easy. The road is narrow, right? We're told that the road is narrow. And honestly, it's easier to just distract ourselves with busyness and social media. But I do believe that the more that we experience the freedom of Christ in our homeschools, in our parenting, in our marriages, the more that we see that it is the only way. And it's up to us whether or not we trust in the Lord and turn our backs on the lies of the enemy and the schemes of the enemy and turn our backs on fear. So I created a really pretty journal to help you walk through the steps, to help you gather your thoughts, jot down your prayers and the verses that the Lord leads you to. It's $4.99 to download. It's fillable, so you can do it on your computer or you can print it out. And your purchase will not only help you uncover how fear is, you know, taking a hold in your homeschool and your parenting and the effects that it's causing and how to break free from that, but it will also help support my work here at Revival Homeschool. The link to the workbook is in the show notes. I pray that as you just live your life, that the Lord reveals to you these strongholds that the enemy has over your life, that these that these fears be revealed, that these tendencies be uncovered, so that you can walk in more peace and more freedom. The good plans that God has for you and your family, for freedom, Christ has set you free. Do not therefore submit again to the yoke of slavery. God bless.